pray for service. Would you open us, please?
Well, Father, I thank you for your presence that is already here. I thank you, Holy Spirit, that you're revealing more of Jesus. And I just ask right now, Lord, that every person in this room would not leave without a fresh revelation from you, God. I thank you that every lying spirit is silenced in the name of Jesus. I thank you, Lord, that you can turn beauty from ashes, Lord. And so I pray right now that this building would be filled with hope, would be filled with peace. God, I thank you that there would be no despair, disappointment, God, because of what's been happening in this world, in our lives, Lord. We bring to you every burden. And I ask, God, that your word would be sharper than a two-edged sword right now, and it would pierce through our hearts. God, I pray that we would be so excited to put this message into action, Lord. I thank you that right now you would stir in our spirits a hunger for more of your word. Stir in our spirits to want more of you, God. We can't want you without you. So help us, Holy Spirit, to want more of you. I pray, Lord, that you would just push past every thought right now that is in our mind. You would push past everything that we came in here with, all of our baggage, Lord, and that you would reveal your son to us, that you would fill us again with your Holy Spirit. You would give us fresh vision for our lives, fresh purpose for our lives. I thank you right now that you cover Pastor Sean and that every word he speaks would be your words, nothing of him. And I thank you, Lord, that he would just be completely obedient. In Jesus' name, amen. Amen.
Mm. Gosh, I love you. You were here too short a time. That's all I'm saying. We left off at the beginning-ish, before Christmas. We left off at the beginning-ish. The beginning-ish of season two. All of us, I hope, understand this Acts series has just been the book of Acts, right? The Bible sometimes is good enough all by itself. Most of the time it's good enough all by itself. The problem is sometimes we add too much to it, and that's the problem, you know? And sometimes we don't always, like, read it all, right? I try to. I'm very hard. I get through it on a regular basis, but some folks just don't read it. I want you so far to realize that the Bible sometimes, whole books, if you're really a believer, how can you not really love this series? Like this series, I'm saying, hey, Pastor, you're killing it. No, this series is the book of Acts. And how can you not love it? In general, the book of Acts, God's using his church. I am his church. God's using his church by his spirit. God's using his church. Say, I am his church. But by his spirit, he's using the church to show and tell himself all over the world. Apostle was telling me, Miles, that they're seeing miracles, and actual physical miracles again in the Hindu population. And why? Because sometimes you got to get someone's attention in ways that we're Americanized. We get all the cushions up, but someone does something and it's starting a wildfire down in Fiji. The Hindu population is getting saved like crazy because God's doing miracles. And I know you guys were pointing at YWAM because YWAM was helping in the last crusade down there. And he was said that in the Muslim or some of the Muslim community, you're seeing God doing miracles in that because he's showing himself. He uses his church. Say, I am his church. Yeah, and he's using his church. The church is spreading the good news of Jesus. And never forget, it's all about Jesus. Sometimes it becomes all about church. Ever been there? Mm-hmm. Unfortunately, sometimes his church isn't all about Jesus. Say, I am his church. You feel that one? Okay, it's just double entendre, it's called. It's a two-edged sword. His church are taking God's truth and his authentic spirit, right? Showing and telling it around the world. The church taking his authentic spirit around the world. So how's this church doing at that? Say, I am his church now. So I thought, since it's been like a whole Christmas season, and you don't remember this. You ever watch a show and you go, I can skip the recap, and then you skip the recap and go, oh, I forgot all about that. Man, I should have watched the recap. Here's a little recap of season one and two. It's 13 random points from Acts season one and two. Yes, I understand you. Thank you very much. I know, Pastor Justin, there are way more than 13 amazing points. And it was very hard to cut it to just 13, so I recognize that. but I got 13. Some stuff that we learned. You ready? This is what we learned so far. People are messy. Do you know a person? Anyone know a person? If you can't raise your hand, you're going to be in the wrong church because I'm going to be interactive here. You know a person? Anyone know a person? No person. All right. Are you a person? I am a person. So you get it. People are messy. We learned that. We did. Number two, the church is made up of? Say this with me. Other people are messy. Number three, if you are prone to criticize, please consider stopping it immediately. If you are prone to criticize, some people are. It was in the Word. When you criticize something God's doing sometime before you talk and pray to Him, you got a whole lot of your foot in your mouth. So before you're prone to criticize, we should immediately stop it. Just a good point, right? Four, do what is asked of you by God to be proven in your season. You can't be proven without doing what He asks of you where you're at. There's no fruit in your apple tree if you never plant seeds for it. And that apple tree will never be an apple tree unless you water it. So you got to be proven in your season. Number five, give the proven the benefit of the doubt. Give the proven the benefit of the doubt. Number six, look for common ground. Ed, look for common ground and opportunity. He talked a little bit about this at round table. Look for common ground and opportunity to bring Jesus to others. Say, I am the church. Number seven, don't let your freedom be an enslavement to others. Some things are lawful but not permissible. Some things are permissible and not lawful. And you got to know not to stumble your brother with a freedom God gave you. Just make sure it's a God-given freedom, just not something you're enslaved to. If it's a freedom, but it enslaves your brother, then it's no bueno. Say no bueno. Very good. Marisol, they are getting better. Just saying they are. Number, where are we at? Number eight, be authentic. Be authentic. Say no more fake Jesus. Fake Jesus gives a mark on the world and a taste in your mouth that's not good. But even real Jesus, that it's hard, will set you free. No more fake Jesus. Be authentic. No more saying God said this when you don't know if God said it. It felt good. It seems right. But even if you could quote His word to somebody, this is the word of God. But if God didn't say for you to say that, you're manipulating the Spirit of God. And that's blasphemy. So that's a bigger one than you think about being authentic. Right? I should be a little, catch your craw a little. Number nine, His church needs His Spirit. I am His church. Man, we need His Spirit. Number 10, I am His church. Nobody else is. How am I doing at being His church? Man, about a C+ during the holidays. I'm trying to raise my grade. You know. Number 11, shouting even the truth is irritating to people. Shouting even the truth is irritating to people. How many arguments you won just shouting? How many times you were right? You're absolutely right, but it was the shouting that got you wrong. Yeah, most of it's tone and body language communication, you know. Number 12, being God's people often brings with it various levels of persecution. Often brings with it various levels of persecution. And 13, God has expectation code of living of life for all believers. He has an expectation code, right? So in the previous chapters of Acts, we're in the second season, episode 3. I want you to recall what happened because it's important. A split happened. Remember we left off, there's a split in the church. The church is messy. Even those that try to serve God became at odds with each other. I got a picture that just hits my soul. I'm sorry. It's Christmas time. I'm still going to use it. Shocking. A split in the church of people actually serving God. and there's a split. That's shocking. A split between believers? Wow. Between God's proven leaders. We're not just talking like a couple guys. We're talking heroes of the faith. It happens. The fact is, great leaders like Paul and Silas are people too. We know that we all fall short. Anybody not falling short at some point in time in your life? Nana's never fallen short. Please go see her. She's never made a mistake. It's like she's the Jesus, the Nana. So we're going to have to figure that out, you know. But she's, you know, we've all made them, right? And we're all prone to make them again. When you think that you're prone not to, oh, you hear that? Miley groaned again. Oh, she said, oh, oi, oh. We all know that we can fall short. A most excellent side note for Acts before we get rolling. You ready? If you're prone to throw stones at leaders, stop it. Especially if you've never planted or led at the level that you're criticizing. Oh, yeah, we could criticize great leaders, both not great leaders and leaders, and we have no idea the pressure that's on them, or they're making good or bad decisions by what we have, because they just we don't know. If you've never planted or led at that level you're criticizing, just remember this. People's a leader too. Wackadoo, wackadoo. Okay. So, wackadoo, wackadoo. Write that in your notes. A big old split happened between Paul and Barnabas, and it happened over, anybody remember who? John Mark. It happened over John Mark. Anyone know why? Remember why? John Mark didn't follow through with his word. Paul's like, man, that guy gave me his word, and he bailed. He wimped out mid-mission. We're like out there in the trenches, getting it done, laying out in the safari, trying to protect the Maasai people, and there's lions all around. And, you know, he's like, he called his mom, well, I got to go home. Why? Because it's tough here. I've got to go to the bathroom in a bucket. There's people that apostle will never take on a mission again. The reason he takes me back is I almost died on my first one. I'm serious. You would come back after you almost died. I think you did die. And we prayed and you came back. I said, I felt that. You can come again. Wow, I made it. That's a small crucible, you know. But Paul's like, he gave his word and he bailed mid-mission. And here's the real fact. I don't know if I can trust him. Man, I don't know if I can trust him. That's what Paul said. Barnabas said this, same guy, John Mark. Say, John Mark. He's like, John Mark's all right, man. He just needs some more discipling. He's young. Maybe he needs some more encouragement. I'm Barnabas, the encourager. You know, maybe he doesn't need tough, come on, go Burmese Ranger. Maybe he needs like, you know, you get by with a little help from your friends. Now, eventually, John Mark, you're going to have to walk on your own. Read your Bible, pray every day, and you grow, grow, grow. But at some point in time, you can't stay there either. And Paul's like, I can't do that, man. You do that. And a vigorous disagreement broke out. So Paul and Silas went one way, and Barney and J. Markey went the other way. So Acts 2, Paul and Silas and some other guys have been cooking in Greece. They've been cooking in Greece. Cooking in Greece. They're explaining Jesus all through Greece. And God's doing miracles and the good news being spread. They are cooking. That's the episode title, Cooking in Greece. Left at the end of the episode that we are in was Paul's final speech. And I want to jump back to 17 so we can capture what's going on. Acts 17, 30 through 31. Turn or tap. God overlooked people's ignorance about these things, his expectations. This is Paul, he's addressing. He says, God overlooked people's ignorance about these things in earlier times. But now, he, the Lord, commands everyone everywhere. That's his prerogative. Like, I know we all love lover of my soul. Father, we love that. Man, I try to rest there when I can. And you need to rest there. But he's also mighty God, not just Prince of Peace. Right? But now, the Lord commands everyone everywhere. He commands everyone to repent of their sins and to turn to him. This is the message he's bringing to Greece. He commands everyone ever to repent of their sins and to turn to him. Right? That's an important part. Because you often hear, like, you know, preachers preaching and shouting, and it's like, you know, repent of your sins. Truth. We all got them. We all need to lay them on the altar. We all should bring a sacrifice of praise for what he's already delivered us and forgiven us from. We should never forget that, no matter how hard life is. He's saved. If you've been saved, God's really saved your soul, you get that. Bringing him praise is not hard because you know he deserves that. Right? We get that part of it. And we also get, forgive me because I've been a knucklehead since the minute I was born. And I made knuckleheaded decisions that you call sin, and I got to own my stuff and stop casting it out. You know, my mom, I got to own my junk. And I got to go, Lord, you said you'd take my junk. He said, I'll take it. I'll wash it away. But not only do you have to repent of your sins, you got to turn to me now. Which means my way's your way, you have another way, your way's gone. You remember the old dead man? Baptism? I'm dead to me. What do you have to say? You can command me now. Are we commandable? Say, I am the church. It says, turn to him, for he has a set day for judging the world. He has a set day for judging the world. Here's a true church talk that's not popular. The church either talks too much or too little about that. The church either talks too much about there's a judgment day, and it could be tomorrow, and it gets shouted, and it's true. But we don't need 85 sermons about it and build our whole ministry on the Judgment Day of Christ Incorporated. But also, we talk too little about it because we get too loosey-goosey and we don't feel like it's, you know, he's going to sweep by and by and Jesus come back, you know, it's been this long. I got time. The death of every young person's headstone. I got time. Thief. So this should matter. He has a set day for judging the world. With what? With justice. By who? The man he was appointed. And he approved to everyone who this is by raising him from the dead. Say Jesus. If you have Jesus, you don't worry about the judgment day. But you got to have Jesus. That's the way. And so Paul's telling them, look, you're all knuckleheads. This is a popular message in Greece, apparently. You're all knuckleheads. Turn to God. He'll forgive you. Woo! They're packing it out in Greece. He is cooking. Let's get into chapter 18. That's where we left off Paul's last message. Chapter 18. Then Paul left Athens and went to Corinth. There he became acquainted with a Jew named Aquila. Aquila becomes very important to Paul. Aquila, born in Pontus, who had recently arrived from Italy. Do this. Yeah. He recently arrived from Italy with his wife Priscilla. As far as I know, this is the first husband-wife team in the New Testament. Remember how God loves his girls? Read the Gospels. Read Acts. God loves his girls. But this is the first husband-wife team. They had left Italy, these Hebrew Italians. A couple of Hebrew Italians. I love them. They had left Italy when Claudius Caesar deported all the Jews from Rome. Here's some news. Persecution happened and is happening. You want to hear about persecution? Blue will take some questions on 20s and 50s and 100s over there too. She'll tell you about all sorts of persecutions happening today, right now, to believers around the world while we're here. Don't feel guilty where you're at, but don't shy away from the truth. Persecution happens. And sometimes it's, well, here's a Christian. He wouldn't even laugh at my meme, so let's shut him at the water cooler. Yeah, that's persecution. Well, the guys won't talk to me at lunch anymore because I won't look at their obscene picture. I'm being persecuted. And that's persecution sometimes. I've lost good friends over something like that. But it's not, get on your knees and confess out loud or go cut off your head. And they look up going, can't nobody do me like Jesus. Persecution happens. Paul lived and worked with them, these Italians, for they were tent makers just as he was. Here's a mission fact. For all missionaries, sometimes Paul was sent with money and a collection from the churches. That's how they got work done. Sometimes Paul worked and supported himself on the mission as well. It just goes to show you that missions takes commitment, makes commitment. So I am the church. Acts 18, 4 through 6. Each Sabbath found Paul at the synagogue. Paul's committed. He's going to church every day. Trying to convince the Jews and the Greeks alike. And after Silas and Timothy came down from Macedonia, pause. Remember, Paul took Timothy and he took Silas on this mission trip. He goes, guys, come with me. I'm going to take you down to Samoa. You know, come on down. I'm taking you down to Greece. And then he left them there so they could build up the church there. Just left them. Like, you guys stay here. Well, I can't speak language. That's okay. Give them Jesus. What if they throw stones at us? They might. Just left them there. After Silas and Timothy came down, like after the mission trip, Paul spent his time preaching the word. All his time. He testified to the Jews that Jesus was the Messiah. But when they opposed and insulted him, this time Paul shook the dust off from his clothes and says a very scary thing. Your blood is upon your own heads. I'm innocent. Basically saying, Christ, I gave you a choice. And you should know this. Your blood being on your own head is a horrible choice come judgment day. And it would be an epic mistake. I'm self-made. I don't need nothing. I'm going to be this. I'm a man. I'm that mama. I'll carry my own. Yep. I'll carry my own sins to the grave. I don't need nothing. On judgment day, that's a huge mistake. To take your own blood upon yourself when he shed his innocent blood for that moment. You don't want that kind of heat. Paul says, I'm done with you. Then let it be on your own head then. You want it to be on your own? You want to do your own thing? Be your own man? You want to be your own God? Be your own God then. Your blood's on your own head. That's not good. It's, man, am I going to stay on my notes at all today? Yes, go and go back. Christ is a choice. Your blood is upon your own heads. I'm innocent. From now on, I will go preach to the Gentiles. Everyone, good news for everybody but Jeff. You know, if you're not Jewish, then you should go, woo, that's us. You know, woo, thank you. But it's an epic mistake. When God starts poking at you once, sometimes we don't notice it. Twice, sometimes like, well, is that God or not trying to get my attention? Then all of a sudden when you realize, as soon as you realize it is him, that's when we should go, oh! Praise God for the grace that sometimes he keeps poking. And he allows us to get broken. But it's really scary when he says, fine then, do it your way. Blood be on your own head. Go on. Acts 18, 7 through 8. Then he left. He just drops a bomb and goes, be on your own head. Bye-bye. I've seen apostle close meetings like that. Like it's a pin drop. Dude, you just roasted everyone. What do we do now? Are they going to kill us on the way to the car? It's good for them. And it might be good for them, but it might not be good for us. He just left. He left and went to the home of Titius Justus, a Gentile who worshiped God. I love those guys. I love watching the men of God worship. I love being part of them. Some of the worshipers that were once down there are now playing up here. Yeah. I miss singing next to some of them sometimes. They're playing keyboards and bass and singing and drumming. And he lived next door to the synagogue. Crispus, the leader of the synagogue, and everyone in the household believed in the Lord. And isn't that the prayer of every parent? You want everyone. You want everybody in your family to know Jesus. You want, and when you, and you're a single person, you're like all your friends. You get if you get found Jesus, you're like telling your friends about it. And that's where the persecution lots of times comes. But like you're in, like I want a whole household. Many others in Corinth also heard Paul and became believers and were baptized. The Jews and the Gentiles now have the way. Acts 18, 9 through 11. One night, the Lord spoke to Paul in a vision and told him, don't be afraid. Speak out. Don't be silent. Close your eyes a second. Don't be afraid. Speak out. Don't be silent. Say, I am the church now. For I am with you, and no one will attack and harm you, for many people in the city belong to me. That's real nice. Because Paul's been beaten before and left for dead. So, like, hey, this time you're not going to be beaten and left for dead. I love those kind of missions. When you're not beaten, left for dead, like, those are good. I enjoy those ones better. The other ones might be more effective, but, like, I can see Paul going, awesome, my jaw just healed, you know. I still got my ribs are all bruised up still. I don't know if I could take another stoning. So don't worry about it. You're not going to be under attack. There's a lot of people here that are going to love you. So Paul stayed there for the next year and a half. Paul stayed there for the next year and a half, teaching the word of God. Say commitment. What would you do if God said go and then stay? What if he told you to stay when you wanted to go? He told you to go when you wanted to stay. And then when he actually went, then he said, okay, now that you're here, stay. How long? Oh, I don't know, over a year. What if God said that to the Kaposis tomorrow? What if the Danos, Davises? What if? Basilovics? What if he said? How would we really respond? Us who say he's Lord. I'm not saying he's saying it, but if we can't hear it or ask it, that's a problem. That's a problem. How would we respond? How would New Season respond? Would we respond like Apostles Church? All of a sudden, like, he's not here this Sunday? No. And so-and-so and so-and-so's gone. Where are they? They're in Fiji. What are they, at the pool? Fiji. Now what do we do? Oh, no, Andrew. You're going to bring the word? Yeah. What are we going to do? Jake, you lead worship if the worship being gone? What are we going to do? We got to be able to ask those kind of questions of ourselves before the Lord. We need to. God desires his church to be prepared in and out of season. You know, I was preaching Apostles Church this week, today. That's what I was told. Has Hebron just graduated high school yet? No, he's a senior in high school. He graduated. He's that age. He may have just graduated as a senior, and he's next up. Prepared in and out of season. I don't think he knew he was going to be next up till like a couple days ago. Boom, you're up. What? God desires our obedience and our surrender because it alone will give us peace, right? Acts 18, 12 through 17. But when Gallio became governor of Acacia, some Jews rose up together against Paul and brought him before the governor for judgment. They accused Paul of persuading the people to worship God in ways that were contrary to our law. Like, come on, fellas, we learned back in season one, didn't we? Ask God before you start whipping accusations around and criticizing his messenger. Come on, fellas, you didn't learn that? Weren't you in that Acts episode? But just as Paul started to make his defense, Gallio turned to Paul's accusers and said this, listen, you Jews, if this were a case involving some wrongdoing or a serious crime, I would have reason to kind of accept this case. But since it's merely a question of words and names and this Jewish law, take care of it yourself. Uh-oh. I refuse to judge such matters. That would be a good shirt for me. Not as a counselor. I refuse to judge such matters. Just whip it out whenever I need to. I can, you know, Ed and William are fighting over the last biscuit over there. Who's right, who's wrong? I refuse to judge such matters. Yeah, I won't get one, I think. I refuse to judge such matters, and he threw them out of the courtroom. The crowd, say the crowd. What did we learn about the crowd in season one? Be careful not to develop a mob mentality. That's hard for some of us to do, right, Caruana? It's hard. You know, God, we grew up in the mob mentality, you know what I'm saying? Don't develop that mob mentality. It's never good. It'll get you off of your flesh in a minute. The crowd isn't always good. Say, don't. Come on, like Italian. Don't do it. Don't do it. The crowd then grabs Sosthenes. The crowd grabs Sosthenes. Who's this guy? Never heard of him yet. Why is this cat in trouble? Paul's stirring things up, and they grab Sosthenes. The crowd grabs Sosthenes, the leader of the synagogue, and beat him. And beat him right there in the courtroom in front of the judge. Here's the truth. The truth is often violently persecuted. That's a consistent theme through Acts. Number two, being a leader isn't easy. Didn't beat Paul, he beat the leader. And persecution by association happens. I am the church. But Gallio, what happened during this beating? Gallio paid them no attention. This may sting too. Pastor Justin said it's okay. This may sting, but no matter what your political leanings, not all politicians, but many politicians are not interested in the truth, only what benefits them. They don't care if you're getting a beating. They don't care what's fair. They don't care what's pro-life. They don't care what makes sense. They don't care what the law says. Sometimes it doesn't matter. If we're looking to the government to be what's going to settle us and give us peace, and they're going to rise up to our occasion, no matter how good your government is, and we've got a good one, compare the rest of the world, even though it's jacked up and janky. It is. But if we're looking to get justice and peace and provision from the government, it has become God. They beat him right there in the courtroom, but Gallio paid no attention. Don't place your absolute trust in any government to be your Messiah, your Savior, your upholder, or your safety, or your peaceful place. There is only one source for shalom, say Jesus. Acts 18:18. Paul stayed in Corinth for some time after that. You know what I've learned through this series? Most missions are not just a week long. Then said goodbye to the brothers and sisters and went nearby to Cenchrea. Guess what? The church is an army. The church is a body, and the church is a family. So you hear that term a lot of time, brother so-and-so. What's up, sister? Right? Yeah, you may seem like some of us are still living in the 70s. It could feel that way. But it is the church. We're supposed to be family. Say, I am the church. Now, there he shaved his head according to the Jewish custom, making the end of a vow. Paul's making a completed commitment. He marked himself, made himself accountable. Everyone that saw him knew what he committed to. Sometimes you need to do that. You got to go to your friends and go, I got to make this commitment. Right. If I don't go to the gym, you guys text me every day, 4 a.m., and blow me up until I respond. And if I don't, I'll shave my head. This I vow. You'd be like, whoa, that's it. He's in. He is into the gym right there. That's Paul. He made a commitment to God and said, hey, you're all going to know what I committed internally to my heart. I'm going to make it an external thing for you guys to know to keep me accountable if you see me drifting. Why? Because it matters that I finish my vow. Man, say commitment. To be the church, it takes commitment. You're afraid I'm going to say it, huh? I'm going to do it anyways. Say, I am the church. Then he set sail for Syria, taking Priscilla and Aquila with him. Personally, I love this husband and wife team. Like I said, they're proven. And it's the first husband and wife New Testament team. And it's special to me. Apostle's always trying to get me to go like to Syria at the end of things. And that's his goal. Whenever I see that in there, I go, man, I'm not taking my wife to Syria. Did you even pray about it? No. Lord, please, no. She's not a Burmese ranger. She's Dr. Heidi. I don't want to take her anyplace dangerous, ever. I don't like she's out here. I don't let her be alone in this building. It's fact. It's true. Acts 18:19-23. They stopped first at the port of Ephesus, where Paul left others behind. Oh, a theme is developing here. Share the gospel, plant a church, encourage the church to grow in faith. Take your time and get to know the community that you're sent to. Then leave a proven leader behind for a bit of watering. While he was there, he went to the synagogue to reason with the Jews, and they asked him to stay longer, but he declined. Apostle tried to use that on me today, mildly. He goes, and the people are saying, where is in Polynesian culture? He if he's the church planner and he's the one, no matter how old they are, he's Papa. in Africa, he's Papa. He's Papa in the South Pacific. He's Apostle places. He's had different titles. But lots of times when I'm traveling Polynesia, if I'm not pastor or prophet, I'm uncle. He goes, they're saying, has uncle forgotten us? Well, dude, I've forgotten you, but I ain't got no energy. I'm not 18 anymore. And I'm tired. And then I go, you're older and more broken than me. And you're still going? Okay. 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 I got to ask myself some hard questions. They asked him to stay longer, but he declined. He said to me, I left because I couldn't stay. That made me feel good because he never says that. They begged him to stay, and he's like, no. So when Apostle told me that, I said, okay, I can use that sometimes. It's never easy. Here's the point here, though. It's never easy to leave people who could still use more help. Think about it. It's never easy to leave people that you know need more help. I'll never forget that one of the first mission trips I ever went to was a place called Chimalacan. You ever heard of that? Chimalacan is the largest dump in the world, and it's found in Mexico City. Right? It's unfathomable to describe to you the smells and the degradation of humanity that's there. And you never wanted to leave. You didn't want to, like, you felt bad not giving every piece of clothing and every dollar you had in your own shoes. And I mean, and if you didn't, you just weren't made of human substance. And to leave them there, and the person on the bus said, you can't cry, don't cry, don't make them feel bad. Yeah, that's good for me. I'm an empath. I'll try that. I cry over a candy bar commercial. Man, the father gave the son a candy bar, the son said, you know. But it's important to realize that it's hard to leave people that need more help. But you must let God become in charge. If we've learned that, disciples' lives are not our own. When he says stay for a year and a half, then stay. And when he says go, then go. If he says come, we say come. If he says jump, we say how high. It's an old coaching line, you know, but that's truth. He's Lord, right? And as he left, he said, I will come back later, God willing. He throws that in there because, like I said, don't say God said something when you didn't say it. He's like, I hope if the Lord wills it, I'll be back. Then he set sail for Ephesus. The next stop was at the port of Caesarea. And from there, he went up and visited the church in Jerusalem. And there he went back to Antioch after spending some time in Antioch. Here's the theme. You got to get to know the people he's really called you to, or you're never going to reach them. Short-term missions is great. It makes a dent and a hole in the ground, and a seed is planted. But if no one's left there to water it, it just dies. And dead men don't mind dying because they already died. Say, I am the church. Paul went back through Galatia and Phrygia, visiting and strengthening all the believers. I never got this in my life until recently. Because when an apostle goes places, especially American Samoa, the church is, everything's thriving. Everyone's happy. Everything's doing well. I'm like, why are we encouraged? But they come and see and talk to us. And I'm like, ah. And he's like, that's why they say, why does Uncle care? Well, I care. He goes, you came all the way around the world and didn't come to a service? Yeah, because I want to get some work done. He said, you don't think it's work to just give them your love? Well, of course I love them, but they're all saved. They got stuff going. He goes, well, epic fail on my time. I didn't see the importance. I didn't think I had that value. I had a plan. I'm still trying to work the plan, you know? Still trying to work the plan. But I'm getting to understand that churches need strengthening too. Because without it, it gets real messy. Because we're people. And we're prone to be messy. And if we don't strengthen each other, who's gonna? Say, I am the church. Acts 18, 24 through 25. Meanwhile, a Jew named Apollos, an eloquent speaker who knew the scriptures well. Knowing the scriptures for ourselves is muy importante. Muy, muy, muy importante. To know the word yourself. Like, it's good if we put it up here. Read along with these. I'm not sliding stuff in on you. But if all we ever eat is what gets fed to us on Sunday, we are starving to death. Starving to death. The church starves when we don't eat. Apollos was an eloquent speaker who knew the scriptures well. He had arrived in Ephesus from Alexandria in Egypt. He had been taught the way of the Lord, and he taught others about Jesus. Disciples doing discipleship things. He taught others about Jesus with an enthusiastic spirit and with accuracy. Man, Apollos is a lot like Jasmine. Enthusiastic spirit. No matter what you ask her to do for Jesus, she's like too cheery about it. Like Jasmine, 6 a.m. I got to bring that, dial that back. Nick's like, you have no idea. You know, I dialed it back 2 levels, you know. Okay. Just for you, Pastor. But here's Apollos, well-versed in Scripture. He taught other people enthusiastically and with accuracy. Apollos is a baller. Say, however. However, he's awesome. However, he knew only about John's baptism. Here's a massive point in the book of Acts. His church needs God's Holy Spirit. Even an accurate, eloquent, gifted disciple of God who is planning churches and teaching people of God. He's saying, even if you have all that in a bag of chips, without my spirit, you're hitting a wall. You can't carry what you need to carry. You need to carry me with you, not just my word with you. Though I am my word, I also sent my spirit to the church. And he emphasized it over and over in Acts how important it was to know God's spirit. His spirit's essential to doing any mission well. So I am the church. And I need a spirit. Acts 18:26 through 28. When Priscilla and Aquila heard him preaching boldly in the synagogue, this already gifted and eloquent speaker, well learned in Scripture, he still needed more humble training. And God gave this couple to him for instruction. It says they took him aside and explained the way of God even more accurately. Pause. How open are we to being trained up even more? Because we know so much. We're so experienced. We've read the Bible 48 times. We watch every podcast that Francis Chan has ever done. Love that guy. But it says they took this eloquent speaker who knew the Word of God very well, and they explained to him the way of God more accurately. Especially if we think we're already doing pretty good. That's a great time to check and say, what training do I need? Apollos had been thinking about going to Acacia, and the brothers and sisters in Ephesus encouraged him to go. And they wrote to the believers in Acacia asking them to welcome him. Only send the proven, not just the willing. I learned that in a mission trip too. Lots of people are willing to go for experience, but if they're not proven, they're going to be a proven mess. They're going to be part of the mission. Bro, you're not drinking water. Who's fasting for Jesus? Not in the desert, you're not. I'm the leader. I said no, but Jesus told me. He told me no. So we're in a problem. You got to follow me. If I'm wrong, then Jesus will deal with me. Drink your water. I shouldn't have to be telling you drink water. You're a 60-year-old man. Just saying. Don't just send the willing. Send the proven. And when he arrived there, he proved to be of great benefit. There's proof in the fruit. He proved to be of great benefit to those who, by God's grace, had believed. He refuted the Jews with powerful arguments and public debate using Scripture. Why? You can't just use your feelings when you're debating. You can't just use hearsay. And you can't just use your testimony, though it's usable and it should be used. But here's this guy. What's the first thing he goes to? Hold on, let's go to Scripture. But using the Scripture, he explained to them that Jesus was the Messiah. So here's some questions to consider, and then there's an opportunity that's coming. I almost asked to open up worship today, but I didn't. Because I'm Chatty Cathy today. I don't want to take the mic time. But God asks us for a sacrifice of praise. He made sacrifice for us to be forgiven. And to the power by the Holy Spirit to turn. And so many things. But he's asking for a sacrifice of praise. And that's not easy during hard times. I want you to consider this today. There's some questions. What am I supposed to be doing this season for God? I want you to ponder that in a second. What are you wanting to give or needing to have greater instruction in? Who have you been sent to this season? What am I supposed to be doing this season? What is God wanting me to get greater instruction in? Who have I really been sent to this season? And how should I be preparing for this season? Like, that's important. I don't try to preach words like, because, hey, I want to get you through Acts, though I think it's good to reread the Bible together. But I felt this was a timely word from God. Not your average, hey, post-Christmas, Pastor Sean ate too much, he's going to roll out something fluffy. I feel like, based on those questions and what he's been saying, we should respond to him. I know that we've had a lot of response time lately, but no matter what he's doing or saying in your life, if you know him, he deserves praise. If you're going through the hardest season of your life, oh, he deserves, that's a sacrifice of praise right there. If you're going through something nobody knows, there's your sacrifice of praise. If you've never lifted your hands, you sat through a worship song, you've never done it, there's your sacrifice of praise. If you have the courage to stand and come up here and sing next to some young kids who are unashamed to bring God their sacrifice of praise, I see you will. One man I can count on every Sunday. One man I can count on every Sunday. Where's my boy Marcus at? Where's Bryce? My guys, they're in class right now. They're like, Brass, are we doing? We're going to give a sacrifice of praise. Yeah, we're going to, fellas. I want you to have a response. And I feel like it's important to think about those questions to give yourself an authentic time to respond. So I'm going to ask, if you'd like homework, check out Spotify, Show Me Your Glory by Melanie Malone. Trust me, that's a bonus. That's like NSBI. That's bonus material. That's extra donut, you know. But today, I will be greeting directly after this song I play. Actually, the worship team's going to come up and play. So I'll have you come up and play it. Yeah, come on up. I sent them this song last night. And they told me, Pastor, we're already playing it Sunday morning. And I said, okay, great, which was awesome for me. I said, but please listen to it yourselves before you play it on Sunday and you spend time with God a minute. Maybe you came late to service. Maybe you're in the midst of hell. Maybe you're asking God for something you have no idea what to do next. Maybe you know what to do next and it's going to be hard. Maybe you've never even asked him, Lord, are you real? I don't know what your question is this morning, but I ask you to bring it as a sacrifice of praise. They're going to give you an opportunity to praise God again. It says he inhabits the praise of his people. I guarantee you, 1 millisecond touching God's presence can change your life. But it takes a sacrifice. So I'm going to invite you to come back to worship. After this song is over, I'm going to go to the door. Miley's going to go to Common Ground. But bring your sacrifice because he's worthy this morning. Because we are the church now. We got to get ready. Join me, please.
We just want you, God, only you. Let this be your song. Let this be your surrender today. Just let him do what he wants to do in you. The enemy has been defeated. There's no room for fear. There's no room for doubt. There's no room for shame. He's here. He's waiting. He loves you so much.
If you need special prayer today from somebody, grab somebody proven. Doesn't have to be a pastor. Grab somebody proven. But we do have a lot of pastors around. You know, grab Dr. Heidi. Grab Pastor Jody. Grab Pastor Sharon. Grab Pastor Justin. But you can grab Miley. You can grab Ed. You can grab Derek. like grab somebody and come together as family and pray that this would be your year. This is your year that you have the most peace ever because you found what God wants you to do and you're stepping into it. I'm releasing one of the best churches I know to go off and enjoy each other today. You can be released in Jesus' name. I love you.